Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, Brianna Contreras, Associate Editor of MHE here. In this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, I spoke with Sheila Talton, founder and CEO of Gray Matter Analytics. Sheila and I addressed the topic of how healthcare organizations are missing out by not actively expanding their efforts to seek out and fast-track talented individuals across many minority populations, especially in the C-Suite. Hello, Sheila. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining me today for an episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
My pleasure.
All right. So to get started, Sheila, can you first just tell me, you know, what it is that you do and what is the mission of Gray Matter Analytics?
Great. Yes, I am the CEO and founder of Gray Matter Analytics. Gray Matter is a SaaS-based solutions company focused in value-based care measures and metrics for hospitals as well as for payers.
Wonderful, thank you. Now, so in this discussion, we're focusing on mostly diversity issues in healthcare. So can you first tell me, you know, what is the issue in healthcare with diversity, more specifically in C-suite positions or in healthcare in general? And maybe those specifically looking at those who look at numbers of an associate.
Yeah, in my opinion, the healthcare systems, both payer and provider, do not represent the patients and or members that they serve. And that I mean that from a gender perspective, as well as from ethnic perspective. And you know that when you look at, especially for a health system, many of the caregivers and clinicians are females and are people of color. Yet when you get up to the C-suite, that tends to thin out quite a bit. So not at all representative of those people who are in the mid-tier as well as the clinicians who are delivering care.
And that is, why do you think that is, you know, because?
Well, unfortunately, those people who are making those decisions tend to hire people who look like them. So most of the CEOs in health systems, as well as in health plans, they tend to be white males, and therefore they're hiring in their own image.
Right. Thank you. Now, what should health organizations be looking for in hiring someone of color or minority or, you know, different gender?
Well, first of all, it really starts with their respective boards, and their boards should be putting those incentives in place for senior management to be looking at hiring diverse talent, gender and ethnic. So that's the first thing. Secondly, then they should be looking at who are we actually promoting and bringing up and giving more broader responsibilities so that they are prepared when the time comes for succession planning to be included in that pool of people who could be successors to the CFO, to the chief medical officer, to the CEO. And right now that's not happening.
Right. Okay, now creating a more diverse executive level in healthcare will not only open more opportunities for other aspiring execs of color, or other genders, but how else can broadening these efforts benefit healthcare overall?
Well, there's been studies that have been shown that when the provider of healthcare happens to be of a similar ethnicity of some of the patients, that there tends to be better outcomes. And mainly there are some cultural things. that might be a part of the care or understanding of the care and or living arrangements that maybe someone else might not understand. For example, you know, Hispanic families tend to have an extended family living situation. Not good or bad, but that's part of some of the social determinants of health that might need to be taken into consideration.
Right. Now, to maybe share experiences that you've noticed or seen or experienced yourself, can you share any of those? Maybe any challenges in your career that you face because of race or gender? And how have your talents and skills helped overcome those challenges?
So I'm smiling when you ask that question. Mm-hmm. Obviously, being an African-American woman, I have experienced those many, many times, but I've never focused on those. Mm-hmm. I have always focused on making sure that I'm prepared to do the job and do the job very well. I am of the belief, though, that a person's talents and skills don't overcome biases, whether they be gender or ethnic or racial. But I don't allow that to dissuade me from being focused on the task at hand and what it is that I have to do my job well.
Wonderful. Now, next I was going to ask, you know, maybe what advice, so if you probably would piggyback that, what advice do you give aspiring young Black or minority or male or female, anyone who, you know, comes across these challenges, what advice do you give them for these aspiring professionals who seek to work at an executive level, who may, you know,
well, there's piggybacking on what I just said, but I also would coach them to try to get support in their respective organizations from what I would call a mentor, mm-hmm. as well as a sponsor. And those are two different things. A mentor is someone that, you know, you can go to for advice on how you could want to show up in a meeting, prepare for the meeting, or prepare your career to have other experiences. But a sponsor is someone who's sitting in the meeting room, and when the discussions are being had about whether or not an individual should be considered for a new role or a promotion, the sponsor is the person that's in the room that's willing to put their own personal reputation on the line to advocate for an individual to be promoted, to be given broader responsibilities.
Right, thank you.
You need both.
Right, of course. Now, with that being said, obviously with a lot that has been in discussion in the past year, you know, with COVID and race, do you see maybe improvements, you know, in hiring in the C-suite level for those seeking it, and specifically in race and gender?
It's too soon to tell. Right. What I do see and hear is a lot of conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts, right? You have to be having the conversations first. And I do see a lot of that. And I do think that healthcare organizations also, besides considering who they're hiring, they should be looking at also the ethnicity and gender of some of their suppliers who are servicing them either with goods and services, because that's another way of looking at diversifying besides just within your organization, but also who you buy your goods and services from.
Right. Thank you for that. Now, I feel like we knocked out all our questions out of the park so fast, but I did want to ask, you know, if there's anything that, you know, you'd love our listeners to know about this subject that I may have not asked you yet that you'd like to share.
Yes. You know, I think there over the last 20 plus years, there's been a lot of good intentions. But often what gets accomplished is what's measured. Mm-hmm. And there's been a reluctance to measure success and actually be transparent about where you are as an organization with your numbers and your aspirations. So I really do think for us to have a different outcome than what we've had over the last 20 years, it takes what I've been calling bold moves. And bold moves meaning that perhaps you are intentionally inserting a group of people in a certain level of the organization with a measurement of, you know, whether that's their direct supervisor and or peers, of how well they're providing support for that individual to be successful. Because that's truly, truly what's needed.
Right. Thank you for that. And again, like you said, you know, what that takes is getting, you know, more awareness, more conversation. And with that being said, you know, like a domino effect, seeing one person, it's going to inspire to keep going. So,
exactly right.
Yes. So hopefully, you know, I feel like we're on a good path here. So
do I.
Yes. We see some more improvement. Well, thank you, Sheila, so much for this conversation. I do feel like it was a bit shorter, but I am very happy to have, you know, met with you for a little bit this morning. I appreciate your time.
And my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.